Well, nobody ever accused the Marine Corps of showing up late for a party, that's for sure.
Ouch, this is great. There's more people than...
Thanks for coming over today at such short notice. You know, with the tragic events of last week, once again, I just want to send our thoughts and prayers out to all those families that have lost and all the families who are waiting to see exactly what's happened with their loved ones. It's a difficult situation, but I would hope that the members of the public and legislators and the media don't make it worse. And that's why I'm here today. Our Senate committee has had many hearings in the past 5 years since I've been the chair. Some of those committee hearings, we've heard testimony from some of our bridge personnel. These are employees that are doing the best that they possibly can. These are professional employees. They've done what we've asked them to do. The catastrophic failure of the I-35 bridge, I do not believe can be pointed at any one engineer or any group of engineers. Unfortunately, there are people who, and not many, who have sent either threatening emails or phone calls to at least one person and possibly more. In some of those cases, Capitol Security and State Patrol have been made aware of those contacts. I would ask that during this difficult time, that if people have concerns about what has transpired, not only in the recent weeks, but in the months and years prior to that, that they contact an elected official, either the governor's office or the commissioner directly, or call my office, or call your own legislator. But please, these bridge inspectors should not shoulder the burden of threatening phone calls in any way. And I would hope that, and I have witnessed some of the email and phone calls that our office has had. Most people are very respectful, and they have suggested ideas to make our transportation system better. And I welcome those contacts. But the thing that I, as the chair of the Transportation Committee, will not tolerate is the threatening and abuse of our employees, whether they're Senate employees or MnDOT employees, who overall have not had a hand in the decision-making process. People have asked that the lieutenant governor's head role over this. I think it's way too premature to start talking about those things. When we talk about culpability, I've been in the legislature for 15 years. I was elected the same year that the governor was to the House of Representatives, the same year that the lieutenant governor was elected to the House of Representatives. And if we're culpable, if there's anybody culpable, it would be myself and the lieutenant governor and the governor. So if people want to express their anger and their frustration, please contact one of us who's elected and leave the non-elected, non-decision makers out of it. Thank you.
Who exactly is sending threatening letters to just the members of the bridge inspection team at the MnDOT?
Eric, I believe that MnDOT will be holding a press conference in the next day or so to further clear the air around this. Right now they are looking at instituting some administrative procedures under the authority of law, above board, to protect some of these employees. Under state law, there is a provision that allows, under an emergency order by the Department of the Commissioner of the Department of Administration, to withhold certain information.
These are death threats?
These are threats of serious nature. MnDOT could ask to have all the bridge inspections from the past few years taken off their website. They're not going to do that. But what they want to do is pull that information back, this is my understanding, and then those individuals whose names are on those, you know, somebody has to sign for it. It's normally a chief bridge inspector or the lead on that team. Pull those back, take the phone numbers or the emails off, and put a general number down for people to call. I think that's a very prudent way of going about this. Nobody wants to withhold the information of the bridge inspections per se, but once again, we have a responsibility to these employees to make sure that they're as safe as reasonably possible.
Are they going to do that?
My understanding is they're going to do that. They're meeting, I think, right now to try to piece all of this together so that it can happen just like clockwork.
So they would take them down off the website, take off the phone number and information and personal information, and then put the inspection report back up.
Right. Right.
Have there been? Do you know the number of phone calls or emails? Or are they coming from one place, multiple people?
I'm not at liberty right now. There is a apparently the law enforcement's been contacted, and I would rather not comment on the number or Eric the exact nature, other to say that they are very serious. Allegations.
One. Come to your attention?
Yes. Earlier today, a lot of members from our committee and the House Transportation Committee went over to visit the site. MnDOT employee that I've known for quite a while mentioned it to me on the way back, and I was very troubled.
When did these start supposedly?
Once again, I'm probably not at liberty to answer that one right now. Like I said, law enforcement's been contacted.
Can you be more specific on when you say law enforcement? Who?
I know for a fact Capital Security. And once Capital Security gets involved, well, we know that Capital Security is State Patrol and other state resources. So. These are being taken very seriously. And
is any individual having to receive protection because of this?
Once again, I don't think I can comment on that. I'm here basically asking the public to and I, too, as am frustrated and as angry as anybody else that this happened. And for it to happen on, you know, my watch, it's not those bridge inspectors. If people want to call somebody, they ought to either call my office or call the commissioner or the governor. You know, being an elected official is kind of like quarterbacking the team. You score a touchdown and you get a lot of credit. You fumble the ball and lose the game, you're the GOAT. Right now, I feel pretty much like a GOAT.
You've said some strong words about Mm-hmm. Do you think when you come back into session in February that's going to be moved to the top of your agenda?
Right now the confirmation process is not in the committee that I have jurisdiction over. After a year goes by, the confirmation is done by it's done in the floor of the Senate. We'll see what happens then. To speculate would be more speculation.
So there doesn't need to be another committee hearing at this point?
No, our committee's not going to hold confirmation hearings on the lieutenant governor. I mean, we can't.
If it went right to a Senate vote? You had said the last time you didn't think she would survive a Senate vote. Are you any reason to change that position?
Are you going to bring it to the floor during a special session?
No, not during a special session. I will absolutely not let that happen. Right now is the time not to focus 100% of the blame on any individual. And now's not the time to be talking about that when we still have bodies that are unrecovered. We still have families grieving. I think the issue of culpability will probably come out in the weeks and months and maybe even years to come. There's a lot of investigation that needs to happen. The National Transportation Safety Board clearly needs to let us know exactly what they know as far as this bridge collapsing. Once we know that, we can kind of piece things together as to what led us to that, what led us to that fateful day. But until all that happens, I think that we're probably talking out of school.
Where are we in the guest tax? You said the other night that the last bill was the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at a dime or 15 cents or in our metro sales mm-hmm. tax and the wheelage tax and the taxis? Mm-hmm. What, in the best of all possible worlds for you, what's that package going to look like?
well, we do know for a fact that the level of underfunding in our state for just transportation infrastructure is $1.7 billion a year. The lieutenant governor was correct in her assessment that if we were going to get to that number using the gas tax, it would take an increase that no motoring family would be able to survive. On the other hand, we're looking at all the tools in the toolbox to try to spread some of the pain out, and this is going to be painful. But I would hope that people would remember that that could have been the bridge down the street from your house. That could be the train crossing that doesn't have cross arms down the street from your house. That could be the traffic signal that doesn't work, that's on your corner of your street. We have a huge mountain to climb here. And unless we all work together to try to meet that challenge, we're not going to get there. I believe the sincerity of the governor. Before your show the other night, Eric, my wife and I had a chance to briefly greet the governor and first lady, and I can tell you that the grief and sorrow was etched firmly on their faces. And I don't think that there's too many people in the state that feel worse about this than the governor and the first lady and all those good employees over MnDOT.
So everything I mentioned?
It's all on the table.
Plus the governor's bonding piece?
I don't think it's going to be the governor's bonding piece. What I'm going to propose to the governor is probably going to be substantially more than that.
More bonding?
Yes.
Can you give us a ballpark? Is it too early?
Well, looking at the plethora of information that we have currently on which bridges are in this category as structurally deficient, which doesn't mean that they're impassable. It clearly doesn't mean that. It just means that they have issues that you need to rectify. Looking at the total degradation of our roadways, knowing what we need to have a transit system, especially in the metropolitan area, that works, looking at our ports, our airports, our railways, and other forms of transportation, we need a massive infusion of dollars up front to address a lot of these issues. We've always kind of piecemealed our bonding dollars out the door, maybe $20 million here or $100 million there. these infrastructure repairs are not cheap. In greater Minnesota, in greater Minnesota, it's going to cost you roughly about $800,000 to do a mile of road. In the metropolitan area, it's about $3 million. The price of bridges, you know, the steel, the concrete, the labor, those always go up. They never go down.
Do you need to strike while the iron's hot, while there's a kind of an air of good feeling here, or if you wait till after Labor Day, and doesn't the wagon get heavier and the farther you get removed from the incident, it makes it tougher to pass something that looks like it's going to be pretty heavy?
No, I don't believe so, Eric. I think that this disaster has marked the soul of the state of Minnesota. And it's not a scar that's going to go away in 20 days or 20 months or 20 years. This is an indelible mark on the history of the state. And what I can say is it's now's not the time for us to stand around and wring our hands any longer. We've been doing that for the 15 years I've been in the legislature. Now's the time to take prudent, full strides towards a funding package to ensure that when our constituents go out on the roads, that they're going to get home safely. And quite frankly, you know, once again, we just haven't done enough. And I think that every member of the legislature and the governor would be abdicating our responsibility unless we took a bold step forward.
So you must think that all of that we talked about can pass regardless of, because you're throwing, it sounds like you got everything but the kitchen sink, and maybe the kitchen sink too. It sounds like you
kitchen sink's in there.
And everything can pass?
Yes.
So then are you going to be looking for the $1.5 billion annually over to pass during the 3 or 4 day special session after Labor Day? Is that kind of the scenario that you're looking at?
To get to that number, I think to get to $1.7 billion would be a very difficult, if not impossible, tax or test. The level of taxation at $1.7 billion is going to be very difficult, especially for some low-income families. We've had discussions before this even happened with the governor talking about how we may be able to provide some tax relief, especially for families who are working and they're, you know, basically in, you know, in the either in the lower middle class or they're in the you know, lower income workers. And I've been encouraged by some of the things that the governor has said since the event and before that. And I truly believe that the governor, even before this event, was becoming more and more cognizant of the state of affairs that our transportation infrastructure has degraded to. Because we've talked, and the governor has said on more than one occasion, and he said it publicly the other day, that the gas tax was no longer off the table. It just depends on how it gets framed up and what the impact is, especially on some of those families that don't have a lot of wealth.
When was the last time you remember him saying that to you?
The first time.
It was this past summer. I don't know the date. It was. It had to have been before. It was before June 28th. I know that for a fact. It was sometime in June. That he first had communicated that.
A low-income tax credit would be, or the low-income tax break to mitigate the cost of all these transportation-related taxes, do you know what form it would take?
No, I've been kicking around ideas in my head, and, you know, I don't think that the governor is way out of line to ask for some sort of tax relief for some of the poorer families in our state. I mean, you know, they've been at the bottom of the dog pile for a long time. And to throw more dogs on top of them, I don't think it's going to do any good.
So would that be sort of a tax credit for transportation if you're under a certain income?
You know, once again, I think the details are a little bit fuzzy. I know what I'm thinking in my head. You know, the gas tax has always been pay-as-you-go, a user fee. And so if you're out on the fee, you pay the tax. You know, so in my mind, I can't clearly say that we need to offset that. But some of the other things, like license tab renewals, most families who are of low or moderate income are paying the $35, the minimum amount. I think that that's probably a good place to start so that there could be some sort of rebate of that process. You know, there's going to be other things that are going to be on the table, too, and I think it's probably a little too early to speculate, but I'm confident that that we will get something meaningful
done.
So
what's the outside of the bonding package that you're looking at?
an overall number, I'll discuss that with the governor, but what I'd like to do is front-load the bill with $500 million of bonds the very first year.
Is that road and bridge or just road?
That's road and bridge. You know, last year we provided a funding mechanism, that trigger mechanism, and I think you might recall that, that would help offset some of the debt service on the bonds. I think that that is still an option that's on the table. That way, you know, the gas, that portion of the gas tax would not be set in stone. It would go up with the level of debt service that was being paid off, and then, you know, out there at about year 13, 14, it would start coming down, and then when the bonds were completely paid off, it would go away. And I think that that's I know that last session when we were talking with the governor about this, he thought that idea was interesting, and, you know, hopefully it's gained a little more traction.
When do you start negotiations in earnest on this thing?
You know, I think that that's probably more up to some of the things that we can't control right now. Everybody's pretty busy right now trying to address some of the needs of those recovery workers and trying to console some of the families of those who have lost. And when the governor feels the time's right, he'll call me. I'm not going to push him. I think that we need to act quickly and responsibly. But like I said the other day when I saw the governor, he's taken this pretty doggone hard, and as many of us are. And I think that if we want to have the best work product possible, everybody needs to be able to catch their breath between now and then.
What's the urgency for a special session? If you're talking about passing a legacy transportation bill, mm-hmm. why not do it in February? Why would you need to do it in sometime soon after later?
I think that the clearly the need has been demonstrated to rectify a lot of the crumbling that's going on in our transportation infrastructure. And I think it would behoove us to pass a major bill in the fall so that MnDOT can start planning for a large infusion of cash going out the door, because they have to plan these projects, and sometimes it takes several months before they can get ready to even let a project. So I want to make sure that MnDOT knows exactly what it is that they're going to have to work with, and they'll be able to plan on those resources. So I think it really behooves us, especially knowing how, you know, knowing the Minnesota climate, you know, our construction season sometimes is a very narrow window, and we need to be able to take advantage of that window. MnDOT needs to plan, put as many projects out as they can this first year so that we can, so that we all Minnesotans can feel more comfortable about the state of our transportation system.
There's some concern that light rail may take a back seat because of this, that funds could be mm-hmm. diverted from other projects and particularly from transit. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts on that?
That's clearly not the intention. You know,
that's the byproduct of all of this, a renewed emphasis on roads and bridges and
things like Central Corridor and other mass transit perhaps don't get as much?
No. Absolutely not. Transit is a transit is a key element in the necessary movement of people back and forth. And if we are serious about lowering some of the trip counts on these bridges, the bridge, the I-35 bridge, had 141,000 people or vehicles going across it every day. If we're serious about reversing that trend, or at least holding that trend in a static situation, then we have to have a complete build out of our transit system here in especially in the metropolitan region, and give people options. Especially with $3 gas, it makes absolutely no sense at all to pass a bill that doesn't provide more options for people. The other thing that our committee is going to work on, and this is for next session, is CAFE standards and other measures that will make transit an even more viable option for many families.
So you don't think transit is going to take a back seat in all of this?
No, that's not going to happen. Transit is a, as I said, it's a very important piece of this puzzle. Transportation is much like the funding portion of transportation. We've got all these options out there, and we need to be able to use them all and use them all effectively. And whether it's our airports or our barges or our rail lines, airways, transit systems, or our roads and bridges, we need to have systems out there that give people options. And I look forward to working over the next, hopefully, month and a half, maybe 2 months, with the governor and chair leader and all the other members of the legislature and the public in passing something meaningful, something that gives us full strides towards an identifiable goal line. We haven't had that lately. You know, people kind of feel, okay, this is kind of what we need, but we haven't put the resources on the table to meet this. This is what a good transportation system should look like. We haven't done that. And I can't say that what happened with the bridge is a result of that. We're not going to know that answer for a long time, if ever. But the thing that I do know is that $1.7 billion of underinvestment every year is costing us. Every year in the state of Minnesota, we lose 500 people on our roads, between 450 and 500. We've done a good job as a state of lowering that death toll, but we can do better. 30% of all the crashes that happen out on our roads are because of something wrong with the roadway. 70% are because of personal behaviors behind the wheel. If we're going to go after those 70% by putting more law enforcement on the road and doing better education, especially for our younger motorists, then we better start addressing that 30% that happens because of something that's wrong with the road. It could be a bad lighting area. It could be some bad pavement. I know talking with one mother who lost her daughter 2 years ago, it was because she hit a chuck hole and it threw their car into the oncoming lane. Anytime somebody dies on our roads, it's a terrible tragedy, and it takes a toll on many of us that work in this area. And I'm, for one, am tired of going to funerals, especially for friends' kids. And as a legislator from Greater Minnesota, where the majority of the fatalities happen, anybody that's from Greater Minnesota that doesn't get on board with this package to help stop some of the carnage on our roads, I can't fathom how they could be against stopping the death and destruction.
Senator, you said earlier today when you were asked whether or not you had any confidence in the Lieutenant Governor moving forward as Transportation Commissioner, you said you did not. Can you talk a little bit more about why you don't?
No. As I had said, and I think that the question that Carrie Miller posed today was not anything new. People have always known where the Lieutenant Governor and I stand, and now's not the time to belabor that point. Now's the time for us to work together to make sure that this recovery happens, and work together to make sure that it never happens again. And I think that the public out there expects us to act like statesmen and stateswomen, and we're all trying to do that. Anything else? Well, thanks for coming over. I know that you guys have been pretty stressed out too, so thank you.